Welcome to the ABCA's podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Brownlee. New podcast sponsor is Aware Sports. Are you looking to improve your use of video for player development, live streaming, instant replay, or opponent scouting? Most coaches answer yes. That's how Aware Sports began, to solve the video challenges in baseball and softball. Whether using their multi-angle fixed camera system or their mobile software, Aware empowers coaches to maximize every aspect of video all in one comprehensive solution. Their users range from MLB teams and reigning collegiate national champions to strong high school programs and literally everything in between. So the real question becomes, will you turn video into a powerful tool to elevate your program or stick with the status quo? You can find out more information at awaresports.com. That's awresports.com. Thanks for listening. This episode is sponsored by Netting Pros. Netting professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Netting Professionals specializes in the design, fabrication, and installation of custom netting for backstops, batting cages, dugouts, BP screens, and ball carts. They also design and install digital graphic wall padding, windscreen, turf, turf protectors, dugout benches, dugout cubbies, and more. Netting Professionals is an official partner of the ABCA and continues to provide quality products and services to many high school, college, and professional fields, facilities, and stadiums throughout the country. Netting Professionals are improving programs one facility at a time. Contact them today at 844-620-2707 or info@nettingpros.com. Visit them online at www.nettingpros.com or check out Netting Pros on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn for all their latest products and projects. Make sure to let CEO Will Miner know that the ABCA sent you. Now on to the podcast. The final on-location episode takes us to Eastlake, Ohio for the Division III National Championship. We had a chance to sit down with Lynchburg's Travis Beasley, Salve Regina's Eric Sorella, Birmingham Southern's Jan Weisberg, Randolph-Macon's Ray Hedrick, Pomona Pitzer's Frank Pericolosi, UW-Whitewater's John Vodnilich, and Misericordia's Pete Egbert. Congrats to Coach Egbert and the Misericordia program for capturing their first national championship in a hard-fought championship series over UW-Whitewater. Once again, thanks to all the coaches who took time to sit down with me. It's an extremely hectic time for coaches and can't thank them enough for carving out time out of their busy schedules. Let's welcome everyone to the podcast. All right, here with Travis Beasley, first-year head coach Lynchburg, but 6 seasons as assistant coach, defending national champs. Was assistant with Coach Lucas last year, 35-15 overall, and then 13-9 conference record. So, Travis, congrats for being here again.
Yeah, appreciate it. Appreciate it.
I mean, how gratifying is it for you? You're assistant for 6 years, you build a thing, and then get a chance to take over. How gratifying is it to be here again?
Yeah, love it for the guys. You know, different story this year. Last year, not a ton of adversity. Really good team. This year, a lot different. You know, a lot of hard work has gone into getting us here last year and then coming back, but it's really about the guys, the work that they put in.
I mean,
sorry.
You had to have known it wasn't going to be as easy for you coming in, but for you guys to get here is unbelievable, because most teams can't do that.
Yeah, no, I think it was something like just put us at ease when we got to the postseason, and we had a chance to maybe put ourselves in a position to be an at-large. We didn't. We lost our last two games. So something just kind of put us at ease when we got to the postseason, got to the tournament. We knew we had to win it, and I don't know what it is, but these guys just seem to play their best baseball this time of year, and it's a heck of a lot of fun to watch, for sure.
Was it a reset button for you all? I mean, once you get to the postseason to kind of put the regular season behind us, was it a reset for you all?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we sat there in the dugout after the regular season, and, you know, we were aware of what we didn't accomplish during the regular season. We had goals, and we didn't check a lot of them, but we also were aware of what we had, you know, still in front of us. We had a chance to still win a conference title, had a chance to still get to 30 wins, had a chance to still make a regional for the fourth year in a row. So I think that was some motivation for the guys, for sure. You know, and again, they responded to us. So I think it was a little bit just kind of at peace and just go play baseball and see what happens.
How'd you handle it this fall with the guys? I mean, defending national champs, did you talk about it much with them?
Honestly, not really. Yeah. Sometimes we forget. It's surreal. It really is. What we did spend a good amount of time talking about, and this carried over from what Lucas kind of left and what he worked so hard, or we worked so hard to build, was trying to turn 1 year into like 10, 15, 20. You know, one of the perks of last year certainly was you learn what it takes. You learn what it takes to win a national title. More importantly, you learn the work that is required to compete and be at a national level. You know, there was a great quote of the price of winning changes every year. And I think that's what we learned this year, is that we couldn't necessarily do exactly what we did last year and expect the same result, but we learned what it takes. And really just trying to, hey, you know, let's take 1 year, let's not be a one-off, and hey, look what they lost, and oh, what a great year, but let's try to turn it into something that's gonna last for 10, 15, 20 years.
You also did play a really challenging schedule this year. Your regular season schedule was extremely challenging. Was that on purpose?
You have to ask Lucas. I think it was on purpose.
He didn't do you any favors.
No, sorry for the cough, but yeah, I think he just like maybe knew he was leaving, and he's like, hey, you know, I'll leave it to him. So one of the things was like, look, man, if you're going to help, you're going to be here from the beginning. You're not going to roll in like halfway through the year. But yeah, it's something that I know he was passionate about. You know, going back to, I think it was 22, we opened up at Birmingham Southern in a tournament down there. Last year, Piedmont. This year, we opened up again at Birmingham Southern, first game of the year, East Texas Baptist. We got no hit, so that was a first, an interesting first game as a head coach. But we played in a D3 showcase, you know, that had Cortland, Marietta, Salisbury. So, again, those guys want to play those games. Those guys want to play the best competition. And certainly, when we get to this point of the year, you know, it's nothing new, really. We know what it takes to play those teams and are excited by the opportunity.
What are the strengths of this year's team?
Well, I think right now we're very similar to what we were last year. You know, we're pitching really well and we're playing elite defense, which is what we did all year last year. We have not done that all year this year. There were stretches where, you know, we didn't play as good a defense as we're capable of, stretches where we were a little inconsistent on the mound. But again, I think the perk of that was, you know, we learned a lot of different ways to win games. Our offense carried us through the year for a good 2 weeks, 3 weeks during the year. And right now, I think it's, you know, just a complete game. I think what we're doing is just, again, it's the confidence that we learned last year. We don't have to do anything special or extra. We just go play our game. Our pitchers are going to give us a chance, trying to create some runs, create some opportunities. So I think it's just the versatility and the ability to do all three things, not necessarily one thing.
Keeping the routine pretty similar for guys this year, just like last year.
We're good. Yeah, and that even goes for the coaching staff. Like, I'm incredibly fortunate. I tell everyone that I can. It's probably the easiest first year head coaching job out there. You know, with the reigning National Coach of the Year and Lucas Jones standing next to me in the dugout, Mike Solbach has helped me call every pitch for the last 6 years, and he's taken more responsibility of that this year. Oscar Garcia coaching third base for the first time. Gabe Garcia, who is his second year coaching, and all he knows is how to get to a World Series. He's done it both years. And then one of our former players, Cam Lane, who was on last year's roster, was hurt during the playoff run. He's on our staff this year. So not much has changed in our preparation and our roles as a coaching staff. Same thing with the players. You know, I think we've had to make some adjustments here and there, kind of to my point about the price of winning's changed. But this time of year, postseason, a lot of it is, focus on our preparation. We don't need to do a whole heck of a lot different and just be confident in what we can do.
Did you play for Coach Hedrick at Randolph-Macon?
I did. So
how cool is that?
Yeah, no, it's surreal. For sure, it's special. So I played 1 year under Coach Waters, Greg Waters, and Coach Hedrick got there. I played 2 years for Coach Hedrick. I think he's changed a little bit since his first 2 years. Truthfully, you know, the transition that he went through as a coach when he got to Randolph-Macon, so it would have been the fall of 04, which would have been my junior year, similar to what Lucas and I kind of walked into when we got to Lynchburg. But what he has built at Randolph-Macon is really special. Honestly, it was kind of the barometer for our players, you know, and, you know, especially pre-COVID and coming right out of COVID. Randolph-Macon, I think, went to the World Series in 18. They were a special group of players. And I think, you know, when we were recruiting and our players kind of, you know, those early years, they were the benchmark of, hey, you know, when we played those, there was an extra edge to those games. And it still is, you know, and it's exciting for the ODAC. It is an elite conference. It's great baseball, great coaches, great players. And it's really special to have two teams out here together.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
it just shows how good the league is.
It is. It is super good, super deep, you know, truthfully, and you know, not throwing any shade at anybody, but I think Shenandoah probably would have been here last year. You know, we matched up with them in the Super Regional last year. I think we were both ranked in the top five. And, you know, when people asked about our success of the World Series last year, I think a large part of it was because we played Shenandoah six different times, and their lineup was as good as anybody in the nation last year. Great pitching. So our chance to play them six times, and you know, not only in the regular season, ODAC tournament, and then the Super Regional, I think it really gave us a lot of confidence going into the World Series. And you know, I think they had they matched up with anybody else, they probably would have had a legit shot of getting to the World Series last year as well.
Did you have to adjust your roles at all taking over as head coach? Did you have to adjust responsibilities?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, you know, emails and some more logistics
paperwork.
I was fortunate. I spent 6 years at VMI and had some opportunities to do some of that stuff then. As far as the baseball, like probably doing less, to be honest. Really fortunate to have great coaches, great assistants, and have given them a little bit more responsibility. Truly having Lucas around, especially in season, has helped me immensely. Without a doubt in the postseason, not only in game with moves to make, but also just the stuff that you have no idea is going to pop up as an assistant. And when you get here, you're like, oh, I never thought about that. And he's been invaluable. So, yeah, some new things. But also we've tried really hard to kind of just do what we know how to do. And, you know, again, it's incredibly fortunate and just trying to help those assistants as much as I can.
Any other shout outs you want to give before I let you go?
Definitely to our administration. Our athletic director, John Waters, is out here. Our president has been incredibly supportive. You know, our fans, our parents, our alums. It's really cool to be out here 2 years in a row. It's incredible to just, you know, sense and hear from their support. We're excited that we're a little bit closer this year, so it's not a flight or a 15-hour drive. So we're anticipating some bigger crowds. And it's just an incredible opportunity for our players. It really is. And our university to be out here to do what we did last year, to follow up this year. We know it's going to be tough this week. We know we're matched up against an incredibly talented Endicott team that's hot right now. But we're just excited for the opportunity and excited for a chance to defend the crown, so to speak.
Good luck this week,
James. Yes, appreciate it.
All right, here with Eric Cirella, Salve Regina, head coach since 2014, assistant and player as well, closing in on 400 wins and 38-8 overall, 13-3 in conference. First time here, correct?
Correct, first time.
How gratifying is it for you as an alum to bring Salve here?
It's you can't put into words. I mean, it's just, there's, 2 decades ago, we couldn't compete with a lot of the best teams. And, you know, within our conference, we could compete and slowly but surely chipping away and making a name for the program. And, you know, we've been to 5 straight regionals and now 7 out of 8 regionals, you know, dating back to 2016. So, we've been in the postseason a lot. We've gotten closer and closer. And I think, you know, after how last season ended with sitting in the winner's bracket of the regionals at Misericordia and, you know, getting swept by them on a Sunday, kind of got our hearts ripped out. So it was, you know, that was the message all year is how do we get back? And so extremely gratifying on a bunch of different levels.
Was there ever a turning point since 2014 where you're like, okay, we're heading in the right direction?
I mean, I think it's just been consistently getting a little bit better. The biggest thing is returning your staff year after year, and I've had the same staff now, same pitching coach, recruiting coordinator for 5-6 years now, and the same secondary staff, assistants, volunteers for 2 or 3 years now. And that's when the kids can hear the same voice and they know what, you know, the coaches know what I want. I don't have to reteach anything. It just works a lot easier. So I think it's returning those guys year after year and just kind of having our system in place, recruiting, practice, player development, you know, it's no secret. Everybody's stealing from everybody else and putting a twist of their own on it. But certainly when you have your own guys there year after year, that makes it a lot easier.
And big one's recruiting, because obviously the assistants do a lot of that too. So it helps if recruits know that the assistants are going to be there.
Sure.
Has that been a resource thing? Have you been able to get more resources for your assistants?
Yeah, definitely. And we had a draft pick in 22. Don Paracci was a ninth rounder, his National Pitcher of the Year, went to the Pirates. And you know, since then, we've gotten some more resources for assistant coaches, full-time assistant, recruiting coordinator. And you know, so I think that's the big thing here is, as long as the school is willing to show that they're investing in winning and they want to keep getting better, then, you know, certainly I'm going to be here as long as I can. But, you know, that's a whole other question. Okay.
And you guys had to run through Salisbury to get here, right? Supers?
Sure. Yeah, that was, I mean, we were the only, you know, top seed, I think, that had to go on the road, and we had to go on the road for the regionals too, up to Cortland, and those are two just really tough places to play. You know, you go see the facilities Joe Brown has up to Cortland, and there's 31 straight, you know, regionals, and he's won the World Series. And then you go down and meet Troy down at Salisbury, and I mean, every sport there is just gigantic. They're so good. Softball's hosting a super regional, and women's lacrosse is playing for the national title. So it's just a completely different environment. It was good for our guys to see, and you know, would it have been easier playing closer to home? Sure, but you know, I think that just is part of the story. I think that's what defines us. You know, if there's so many people and so many news outlets that, and rightfully so, are talking about Birmingham Southern and what they're going through. And I know Jan is a phenomenal coach, and they've probably been to the World Series half a dozen times. But I mean, if you saw what my guys, our field, our fence. I mean, we got a snow fence. It's like this high. It's blue. We cut our own grass. I mean, we do everything. We've everything that you see at our field, which is not even up to par with anywhere. That's all fundraised. That's all donated money. That's all, you know, through alumni. I think that's like the story people need to hear is what we've come from and what we've had to battle through to get here.
How's this team different than maybe some teams in the past that haven't gotten here?
I think they were just hungrier. I think the coaches were able to be honest with them. You know, after getting beat in the regional finals a year ago by a team that we didn't think was more talented than us, they were just more disciplined than us. It allowed us to coach them harder and ask them to be more disciplined, and sit them down and say, guys, you're the ones that say you want to get back here. If you don't want to be more disciplined, just tell me, and I'll, you know, I'm going to go recruit some other kids that want to be more disciplined. But that's what you said. That was the message. So that's how they're different, is they saw it with their own eyes. And sometimes, I mean, you don't learn by winning. You learn by losing. And that's, you know, that was the most important lesson.
Did those guys have those same conversations with you all too? Did the players come and say, hey, we need to do a better job with this?
Yeah, oh yeah. What can I do better as a leader? What can I do better as a junior, as a senior, as a grad student? And, you know, as somebody who's a pitcher, as somebody who's a bullpen arm, as somebody who's a, you know, because everybody, whether you're my starting shortstop or you're my top guy out of the pen, I mean, everybody can take a leadership role, and it might just be holding guys more accountable with what they put in their body or how they go about their business in the weight room. Could be classroom issues, could be anything, but just it's explaining to them what they're really good at. And even if you're not a vocal guy, you can help other kids get organized in the classroom. So I think a lot of guys took on different leadership roles this year.
What are some other strengths of this year's team?
Well, I mean, up until we went to Salisbury, we could really pitch it. You know, we were one or two in the country in ERA, and I mean, we have a really strong bullpen. You know, we got three guys there with like 15 to 25 appearances. I got a guy with 10 saves, Kyle Carroza. Jason Arrigo is kind of Mr. Everything, where he leads our team in wins, and he hasn't started a game for us all year. He's 9-1. Tommy DelVecchio, you know, set the single season and program record for appearances, so he's kind of our rubber arm, you know, get him out there every game, could be for a batter, could be for three innings type of guy. And that's what it starts with, and then I think after that it's just we try to score runs in a multitude of different ways. You know, we score 9 runs a game. It's stolen bases. It's you know, we can bunt, we can handle the bat, we can hit the long ball at times, but we're not a power hitting team. So the message is always the same. You're not going to string 4 or 5 hits together against somebody's best arm. You're going to have to find different ways to make them work and different ways to score runs, and that's kind of what we've done.
That plays well here, big ballpark here in Lake County.
Yeah, and that's what we were kind of hoping for, is it's a big ballpark. I don't mind if the wind's blowing in a little bit. I mean, geez, we got – it's funny. I mean, you look at all 7 teams and you know, like, man, we could be out of here in 2 games, or we could – you know, we could stay for a week, but you certainly aren't going to play everybody. But you look at some of their numbers, like Whitewater, their offensive numbers are just, I mean, they're slugging like 530. It's insane. If you're hitting 340 on that team, you're bringing the team batting average down. So I certainly, we don't mind a bigger park because we're not typically a home run hitting team, but, you know, guys have stepped up, and that's what it takes, is your best players have to be your best players, but then there's got to be a couple guys that maybe play a little bit better than what their season averages are so far. And same can be said for pitchers. I mean, we could not get a clean inning against Salisbury. We could not get a zero, and lo and behold, we bring in a freshman, Luis Ortiz, and he throws, you know, 3 1/3 of scoreless innings because he doesn't care. You know, it's just like, come on, hit it, big boy. And he's out there dancing and smiling and doing his thing and kept us in the game. And, you know, that was a cool thing to say. So,
roster mostly New England, some Eastern Shore kids?
Yeah, we do. I'd say primarily Jersey, Massachusetts, Connecticut. There's certainly different pockets in those states that we do well in. You know, Connecticut, Fairfield County, Shoreline, North Jersey. But we're starting to get into Central and, you know, a little bit in South Jersey. And, you know, again, we're just... We would recruit anybody. We would recruit anywhere. It just, you know, there's certain kids. You know, in Rhode Island, it's kind of, you get that big fish, small pond syndrome, and kids think they're a little better than what they are, and you can get that same kid down in Jersey who's excited to, you know, put on the blue and green. Yeah. But, yeah, that's typically it. And then we're starting to do more in the transfer portal. Got a couple D1 guys. Hunter Jaworski was a big addition from Mitchell, a grad student who's, I think he's all New England DH, so...
First time here, did you reach out to some other coaches maybe that had been here on how to handle this week?
Yeah, I did. A coach or two that is here that I talked to, you know, through congratulations and whatnot. And then a couple guys from up in New England who had been here, pretty much just, you know, what's your best advice? You know, and a lot of those guys are just really super human beings. Coach, nothing you don't already know, but, you know, when I could pick away and be like, come on, you're like, I know you know some stuff. And, you know, the message was just do what you do. Keep the focus on baseball. Routine's important because they're going to get thrown out of their routine. Don't kill them too much. Like, you know, some teams try and come in on Wednesday and practice and find a facility 20 minutes away. And, you know, we want guys to be fresh. And so, you know, I took bits and pieces of what everybody said and certainly appreciate it all. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to play good baseball. And that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter what 7 other teams do. If we go out and play good baseball, we can beat anyone. And if we don't, you know, we're going to lose. And if we lose twice, or if we don't play well twice, we're going to lose twice. We're going to be on a flight home. So that's just going to be the message, is do what we do.
What are you trying to get out of training today out on the field?
I think just for guys to understand, like, look, it's a little different. The acoustics are different. The setup's a little different, but their bases are 90 feet apart. Home plate 17 inches, 60 feet 6 inches, and all that stuff. And we just got to figure out, you know, how the ball bounces maybe off the outfield wall and how it looks coming from the home plate area to our infielders and stuff. And that's it. Just a little 45 minutes of comfort so that when they step out here tomorrow, they're not, you know, it doesn't feel like it's for the first time. And I just keep, you know, a lot of the coaching at this point's over and done with. I mean, we're going to make some little tweaks and see this and, but you're just trying to give kids confidence and, you know, tell them they can do it and believe in themselves. And, you know, if they do, then that's half the battle.
Now, with some of your challenges, though, you do have one of the better places in the country to go to school in Newport, Rhode Island.
Correct. I mean, I could tell you that my...
I've been to Newport. It's nice.
It is nice. So my first 4 years coaching, I probably didn't show the baseball field more than a dozen times. I just said, hey, let's go, let's look at the cliff walk. Here are the mansions. You see some bachelorette parties going back and forth on the cliff walk. It's beautiful. It's 75, 80 degrees. You got a nice breeze because it was 90 wherever they came from, and now it's 78, and you got a nice cool breeze, and it feels great. I'm not, like, Newport is, you can sell Newport to anybody, and if you can't, then you're not very good at selling. But, you know, it's just, we're in an arms race in college sports, and it's really difficult sometimes when I think kids playing at better high school fields and you're trying to recruit them to your college. But, you know, lo and behold, we have enough, and I think that's the message. You know, if you guys need all the glitz and glamour and the big locker rooms and, you know, you want to do ping pong tournaments and stuff, then Salve's not the place for you. If you want to go to a white collar place, that you got to be a little bit more blue collar and a little bit grittier and a little bit, you know, tougher, then this is the place for you. So,
any other shout outs before I let you go?
I think just the alumni. I think, like, doing this for 10, 11, 12 years and being an alum and hundreds of emails, text messages, everything across all forms of social media, there were guys who I recruited that knew, like, hey, this message, what they're going to do here is going to be great. We're not going to go to the College World Series, but I'm going to be part of this, and someday, you know, they're going to get there. They just knew those teams weren't talented enough to get there. I think those guys, and then obviously, you know, my family and friends who stood by me, and when you're trying to run a program from day one and you got no assistance really, and you're the only guy and you're trying to do everything, you alienate people because you're not there for bachelor parties, you're not there for cookouts, you're not there for certain things. You know, I was just a single guy, 30 years old, after coaching 6 years at URI and thinking, hey, I got every drill in the world, and I'm gonna, you know, but it's not that. It's finding those people to kind of get in the trenches with you, and those people to help behind the scenes, and obviously the people that help you and don't care whether you win or lose. They want you to win, but if you lose, they're still going to put food on the table. They're still going to give you a hug. So all those people that help and who are there from day one, and obviously my dad, who was a 14-year head coach before, you know, before me. I think those are all the people that need a shout out.
Thanks for your time, Eric. Good
Absolutely.
Luck this week.
Thank you very much.
All right, here with Jan Weisberg, head coach Birmingham Southern, 16th season. Closing in on 500 wins, national runner-up in 2019, but 32-14 overall and 14-7 in conference. Obviously, there's a lot of other stuff going on right now, Jan, so I appreciate you jumping on with me. Hey, I know it's bittersweet right now, but isn't it much better to be in uniform right now than having to do game management?
Yeah. So as a member of the National Committee, I guess the last 3 years, you know, we made the World Series in 19 and all the World Series since I've been on the committee. Yeah. So it's been fun to come and experience it and kind of help administer the championship. But, yeah, it's a whole lot funner to be here.
Yeah. When did you find out everything was going on? Obviously, you're part administrator as well.
Yeah. So it's been kind of a two-year process that we've been dealing with it. But the ultimate finality on March 26, I think we kind of started to feel that it wasn't going the right way maybe a couple weeks earlier, but it's still a little bit of hope. I think being an administrator, found out at about 9 o'clock that day that the release was going on at 1 o'clock, and really nobody else knew until 1 o'clock.
I give you guys a lot of credit though. The wheels could have fallen off at that point.
Yeah.
So, you know, how did you handle that with the guys, and how did the guys handle that? Cause that can go one of two ways. It can be, okay, we're going to dig deep and turn this thing around and you know, turn this into a great story, or the wheels could have fallen off.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple layers to it, Ryan. You know, at the time we were 13-10, which for Birmingham Southern, I don't think we've been in that position ever. Sitting at fourth place in the conference, we've never been there. So just that alone to turn it around. But when I told the team in the locker room that day, I didn't want them to hear from an email from a president. So I told him personally at like 12:59, and a lot of sadness, obviously, a lot of crying, and just kind of told him a few different things. The first was, you know, we're going to grieve. You know, we're losing something we love. There's sadness, there's pain, there's sorrow. We're not going to tell you to just move on. And it's not just today. You know, it's going to be the next couple weeks. It's going to be the next couple months. But we kind of laid it out there that that was okay. That was open. We had a chaplain that meets with our guys every week. He's a former player. And he did a great job every week of, man, everybody okay? And they're like, man, we're struggling a little bit. But I told him about that. Like, that's okay. Let's deal with that. Second thing we talked about in that meeting was, you know, this is going to put a lot of uncertainty and a lot of anxiety about individually what's going to happen to me. Where do I go? And I think some of them thought about it to some level because of, you know, we were facing this potential. But now that it was there, I just said, you know, let us help you with that. So sat down with every player. Hey, where are some places you'd like to go? You know, what's a dream? What's a good fit? So we started to contact coaches for them and help them with that. And I said, let's be open and honest about that, because I don't want that weight on your shoulders, because if you don't address it, your parents are going to ask you about it. You know, your teammates are going to ask you about it. So let's start making strides towards, you know, finding a solution to that. But the last thing I told them is I think the biggest reason why we're here is kind of, where do we want to go? And as you said, how do we want this to finish? What, you know, what's the story you want to write? And I said, you know, the only thing I ask is that we finish strong, you know, and that means to honor everybody that's come before you, because our program's one that you always just pass it on to the next guy. Well, there's no one to pass it on to now. But and it's kind of ironic, because on that day I told him that does not mean, finish strong does not mean we have to win a national championship. You know, we played in the national championship series. That's the only thing we don't have at this level. But it doesn't mean that. It's win this weekend. But more importantly, it's the way you do it. You know, continue to fight, continue to compete. And that's not just on the field. It was academically. You know, over the last 2 years, we've seen a lot of students just kind of quit. We've seen some professors kind of quit on their classes. And I said, that's not something the Panthers do. And the message was there. But with this team, I mean, yes, I think there was strong leadership, but it was complete buy-in, you know, and they allowed us to lead them in the way that I laid out. And that's probably the best thing about this team.
So practice and games have been kind of a safe space for everybody then?
No doubt. A great example of that, you know, it was gray. It was storming the day that we told them the news, kind of just the most dreary day you could imagine. And our game had been canceled that afternoon. We were on spring break. We were going to go to LaGrange. It was canceled. Thank God. And so I said, guys, obviously today we're not going to hit. Doesn't matter. No hitting groups. I said, but I want all the pitchers to go and just throw. And I want all the hitters, not in groups, but 20 guys just go in the cages. I just want you to be there for 20 minutes together. I said, I don't care if you hit. Doesn't matter. I just didn't want them going back to their apartments, you know, alone. So I gathered myself for about 5 minutes, and it was amazing. I went outside, and it was 80 degrees and not a cloud in the sky. It was crazy. And kind of like I told him in the locker room, I just got him together again. I said, guys, what I'm talking about. Like, in the darkest times, you're going to come out on the other side. Okay, just like COVID. They had that to show them. Just like today, it was gray and now it's sunny. But they decided to stay, and they all hit. And I'm telling you, it was the best 30 minutes of BP that I've seen in 5 years. It was incredible. And that, when you mentioned released, after that, I just told them, guys, that's the best we've ever hit. And I said, why? You don't care about mechanics. This is a safe place away from all that sadness. And I think that's what they've taken from this, right? When they go on the field for those 3 hours or 4 hours a day, man, they don't think about this stuff. Even Tuesday, right? I mean, something as emotional as that was our last practice on the field ever. All those hours I've been there, 17 years. But I didn't even think about it until someone asked me after practice, because this has been our release to just get away from all that. So that's a big thing. It has been a huge release for them.
Coming out of the fall, did you feel like this team had a potential to get here?
That's a really good question. You know, this realistically, when you look at it, this was a little bit of a rebuilding year. We've had a really good offense the last 2 years, and we lost six starters out of that lineup. We lost our number one pitcher. Did bring in someone that we felt was really good. And I just told him, I thought we had the talent to compete for a conference championship and get back to the postseason. In all honesty, if you would have asked me, you know, is this a World Series team, I would have said, I really don't know. And in years past, I've always had, you know, the honor of saying, or I guess the luxury of saying, yeah, I think we can get there. But if you look at this team, there's not an All-American. I don't have an All-Region player on this team. Yet we're here, but it's the best team that I've ever had.
So is that the strength in numbers?
No doubt. And it wasn't at the time. Like I said, we were 13-10. But if you look at the last 2 months, the phrase I've told people is, I think this could be a masterclass on truly, and we say it a lot as coaches, but the power of togetherness. There has been zero tension in our dugout. There has been zero pressure, zero anxiety. They just love it. They love being out there with each other. It's been their release, and they love it.
You also played a really challenging schedule early. Look at the two tournaments you host back to back. I mean, that's going to dictate the record a little bit too.
Yep. Those, oh, no doubt.
Those series. I mean, how much do you like having those tournaments early?
Well, and we tell the guys up front, right? We have this goal. We break our season down into 4 10-game segments. You know, and we just check in. You know, all of our goals and all that. If we have season goals, let's measure them to these 10 games. And I tell them if we go 7-3 in each one of those, there's a great chance we'll get an at-large bid because of our strength of schedule and who we play. But in addition to that, it does get you a little battle-tested. No disrespect to, you know, our Lexington Regional, some really good teams. But, you know, when you look at that first weekend and you go East Texas Baptist, Lynchburg, and Milliken, all regional teams, I'm sitting here going, guys, that was a better regional. Going down and playing Whitewater in Pensacola, 2 games, a World Series team. You know, that Adrian, the next weekend, you know, it's and that's what I reminded those guys is that's why we do what we do. We're built for this. So that's why they've been so relaxed in the postseason.
You've coached in some World Series. You've been to a lot of World Series. What's the key to playing well here and doing well here?
It's really easy, man. It's the team that can just keep the game, you know, and not – if you think about – the possibilities or the future, right? Like, hey, we can play for now. And I thought that got to us in 19, I'll be honest with you. We go 3-0 in the pool play, and I think, but they were just playing baseball. When we got to the championship series, I really sensed that they felt, oh God, we're playing for a national championship. So I remember we stranded a runner at third base in the second inning, but the tension that brought in our dugout. Whereas right now, it's kind of like, okay, just move on. I've had a piece, you know, last Saturday we had this bout of a stomach virus, and I mean.
I got it on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, did you?
I was in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Well, you know
I got
awful
it on
it
Sunday.
Is.
It was awful. Coming out of both ends.
Yeah. So, I mean, we really weren't a bad place. With no, well, my relievers are all sick. And there was this piece in our dugout, and I think it was just kind of like, you know what? If it's meant to be, it's meant to be. One of my players actually asked me after that regional, you know, it's like, man, we've been at three super regionals now. Like, how do you stay so calm in the dugout? And I just said, man, what do I tell you guys every day before the game? You say, well, we love you and you trust you. You love us and you trust us. Yeah. And I said, this is a game where, man, we're either going to do it or we're not. You know, and that's okay. You're playing great opponents. But if it's meant to be, if it's meant to be, if we get it done, we get it done. And the team that can kind of keep that mentality, and I guess I don't want to say not be afraid to lose, but just go play realizing, hey, we may win this, we may lose this. But if you look at it, we've had less freebies than our opponents during this game. We've had more quality starts. We've made less errors, so you're going to win games. But if you can keep it about the game, you're going
to
be all right.
How long did it take you to figure that out, that piece of keeping a low pulse? Because I go to a lot of the different championships,
yeah,
and it seems like the common theme of the head coaches is that all of them keep that low pulse during games.
It took me a long time. You know, we got to our first regional in 2012, regional final, we lost. 14. 15, regional final, we lost. 17, regional final, we lost. And I'll admit it, I put so much pressure on our guys because at that time, we had built, and the only thing we hadn't done was go to the World Series. And looking back on it, because you always reflect, like, why are we coming short? And the format was different. The regional, super regional really helps because it's like, okay, we've been playing series all year. But I felt I needed to get to the World Series for like validation of our program. And I put that weight on our players, you know, because I kept saying, we got to get there for the alums. And it's like, well, and just what I just said, it wasn't about the game. It was about the result that hadn't even been achieved yet. And so in 19, when we went to the World Series, and again, I think what part helped that partly was we had a really good club. It was not my best club. And I just said, man, we got to stay relaxed here. And that's when I started using that term, man, all I care about is two results. We either win or have no regrets. I love you. I trust you. Let's just go play. And it worked. And it did show me, you know, like we have a thing in the postseason is there's no negativity, right? Like there is no coming back and throwing a helmet and do it. It's like, just move on. And that mentality, that low pulse has really helped us the last 4 years.
When was that last time you talked to Coach Madison?
Talked to him right before the Lexington Regional. Yeah. And he brought a lot to that. You know, there were so many things as a young coach that I didn't see. You know, he just sent me a text this morning with a little Bible passage in it that talked about rest. And it was really important because I had to come up early here away from the team yesterday and traveled separately. And it was the first time that I had been alone. This media crush that we've had the last 10 days has been, to be honest with you, overwhelming. We're not used to that at this level. You know, trying to find out the details of travel and all that. But it was the first day that I just had 2 hours alone in a hotel room alone. And the rest that I got was awesome. But he sent me this passage, and it just, you know, just stressed the importance of rest, that, you know, sometimes in our profession, we don't take Sunday as that rest day. We're playing, we're moving. And then we get in right into the next week. But he's always, you know, he daily sends a group of us former coaches that coach for him a little, he calls it from the dugout. And it's just a little Bible verse and a message. So every day I hear from him, but I talked to him last about a month ago.
That's probably a secret among those of us that have coached, is that the car is kind of your quiet time.
Yep.
It's your time to decompress and get away from it and reflect on things, because we've all spent so much time in the car.
Yeah, and we kill ourselves. You know, you know, my wife was interviewed recently for, you know, a crew that's following us, and they, you know, asked her about me, and she says, well, there's always pieces of paper around the house with these initials and positions and lineups, and it's like he never gets away from it. And I'll be honest with you, you know, we pour a lot into what we do here, but, you know, when I was in the SEC, that's what killed me, was the feeling of, you know, I can't take 10 minutes with my family. I would feel that guilt, you know, and you've been there, you know it as an
assistant. I said it all the time, the guys that I knew that I came up with, when they got SEC jobs and you would see them a year later, it looked like they had aged 10 years.
Yeah, it's like the president, right? When Obama went in, it was like a clear one, right? Is this young, fit guy, and all of a sudden there's gray hairs 8 years later, and it's like, oh my God. But it's a lot like that, yeah. For sure.
Any other shout outs you wanna give before I let you go?
No, I'm happy for our alums. I'm happy that this can shine a light on what joy Birmingham Southern brought.
Yeah. Thanks for your time.
Awesome.
All right, here with Ray Hedrick, Randolph Macon, head coach, 20th season, closing in on 500 wins. ABCA Division III committee, 97 Randolph Macon grad, 34-14 overall this year, and 16-6 in conference. Ray, congrats for being here.
Thank you. It's good to be here and good to see you.
Usually see in the meetings, but now you get to be in uniform, which is tremendous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an exciting weekend to see guys like Jan, who's been on the committee, and Frank, especially Frank. You know, Frank has been doing this for so long for so many other people to make sure this event works for them. And now he gets to kind of enjoy the fruits of his labor. And that's really exciting for Frank. So that's probably the one guy that I'm most excited to see here, just given how much time and effort he's put into the committee work for the NCAA.
How gratifying is it for you that one of your former players, Travis Beasley, is here as well?
Yeah, it is pretty neat. And when you've been somewhere 20 years, and Travis was with me my first couple of years, but you start to see guys graduate and move on professionally, and to have them in the same industry, and then to have them in the same league. And, you know, it can be a little taxing, especially with somebody as intelligent and baseball savvy as Travis. But both he and Lucas. Lucas was my assistant for 3 years at Randolph Macon when he first got in the business. But Travis and his family still in Hanover County, still right down the road from campus. They still bring the grandkids to campus. They still support us outside of when we're playing the Lynchburg Hornets. It means a great deal. That's probably, you know, something that I've thought a lot about since Sunday, just knowing that we'd be here at the World Series at the same time together.
How good is the ODAC?
ODAC is really good. You know, our league could probably easily send four, maybe five teams who would be competitive at a regional and a national level. I truly believe that.
What is the strength of your team this year?
I think just the closeness and the camaraderie. We don't have a guy. Right. We don't have someone who is going to stand out from a draft standpoint, from a, you know, from an elite award standpoint. We didn't have any All-Americans. I think the best we got this year from an individual award standpoint was a couple second team, third team, all region guys between the D3 baseball and between the ABCA. But they're just a close knit group. They believe in each other. They have a bit of an edge. But, you know, it is not one of the more elite teams in terms of skill that I've had. But it's just kind of the closeness and the camaraderie of the group. And sometimes that's better than just having individual guys. We talk about all the individual players we've had in the past. And what if you added this guy? And what if you added that guy? And, you know, truth be told, you know, sometimes those are a little bit more of the challenging situations because of personalities. And let's be honest, coaching a lot of times is more about managing personalities than the X's and O's. And I think the one thing that my staff's been able to do this year to complement me is manage those personalities and get this group to believe. And collectively, they have done an outstanding job. We do everything well. We don't do everything elite, but we do everything well.
Where's that edge come from, you think? Is that recruiting, born with it, developed?
I just think it's the standard. We talk about the standard of our program, and you've got some programs who could echo those same sentiments here in this tournament this weekend. But I think it's just the players in the past who have engaged at a high level. We do tradition talks, and we constantly talk about, you know, those that came before them. And I think that this group in particular understands the commitment to that standard and wants to uphold that standard. Our seniors got back over the 100 win plateau. You know, we had from 2016 to through COVID and shortly after COVID, each of our senior classes eclipsed 100 wins, which I think at our level is a big deal when you only play 40 games a season. So we lost that though in 22, we lost that in 23, and much of that had to do with COVID cutting short, not only 2020, but 2021. Both those classes in 22 and 23 respectively had 90s in wins, but this group got over 100, got back to the Century Club. And so I think just the collection of the expectations of our alums and the need to uphold the standard for our current senior class, I think that's what has provided the edge that we play with.
How often do you do the tradition talks?
We did them more frequently last year than we have this year. We've had a couple sporadically here and there this year, and that was something that I introduced more so last year. And this year has been more focused on just, you know, the standard and showing clips and individual individual examples of what this program does and what our expectation is from a standard standpoint. So probably a few less this year than we've done in the past, but it's something that we still hold on to. And I take great pride in bringing former players back, not just from my time here as a head coach, but also from the previous two head coaches. I'm only the third coach in Randolph-Macon history since 1949, so it's a big deal.
What's training look like this week for y'all? Get ready.
I think, we had a good, Monday was kind of a recovery day, body care, after, three really competitive games with Adrian. It was hot, it was muggy in Virginia. Sunday was graduation, so not much of anything on Sunday, and the kids celebrated, and they're kids, right? We get so caught up in the competitive nature of what we're doing, and we forget their kids. So we let them be kids for about 36 hours, got them back out on Monday, and just, got them in the weight room, got them in the sauna, got them in the pool, just try to get their bodies to recover. And then Tuesday, I had some more in the way of baseball workouts. Had a workout before we left yesterday, and then in the process of getting some swings and some defensive reps in this today.
You helped turn two programs around as an assistant coach. What are some keys? So if a coach is listening in right now and maybe taking a program, a lot of us got jobs because maybe nobody else wanted those jobs. Mm-hmm. How do you get things turned around at a program that maybe is not having success?
You just have to care about people. I think you have to put people first. I think that's a theme of most successful coaches at any level. You have to value relationships. And not only between a player and a coach, but also between administration and between coaches and administrators. Some of the best friends I made on campus as soon as I got to Randolph-Macon were the guys that work at the physical plant. Just making them feel valued and working together with them, because if you're going to get things done on your facility, you need the people on campus, and you need those blue collar guys that are working their butts off all the time on campus. So I think just not turning anyone away. Valuing the people that work on your campus, valuing your players, valuing your bus drivers. I think you need everybody to be on board with you, and the only way you do that is by building relationships and trust. And relationships are hard, right? It's hard to be accountable to somebody else, whether it be a wife or a partner or a son or a daughter or whatever it may be, a best friend. So it's certainly probably one of the hardest things to do in life is build a consistent and strong relationship with people. But that, to run a high level and elite organization, in this case an athletic program, you need to be relationship based. You need to show people that you value them and that you care about them, and you're going to put their wants and needs before your own wants and needs.
You talk about that with your players
all the time.
Because that's a great life lesson. If you're going to be successful in anything, you're going to have to develop relationships.
Yeah, and I talk about how hard relationships. I've been married for 20 plus years now, and probably the two hardest jobs in life are being married and raising kids. My job is to take these young men from being dependent on their parents when they leave home to being independent when they graduate, so that they are successful husbands or you know, parents and you know, fathers. And I just, yeah, we talk about it all the time. And every time a baseball experience happens, I try to compare it to a life experience and how, you know, a lot of times in life you have to be comfortable with uncomfortable. And I know people. I know people think we just coach baseball, and you know, we're certainly not saving lives, and we're not working at the
more
level.
Than you think, though. Now, but, in this generation,
but we're shaping,
we are
lives. Shaping lives, right? We're shaping lives. That's the biggest difference. Like, we're shaping people to be, you know, successful husbands, fathers, or, you know, in our case, but just we're putting people in a position to have success beyond their time in playing sports. And I will always talk to my guys about how something in sports relates to something in life, so that they're best prepared. And it's the best feeling, and you can probably relate to this, is when you run across a former player 5-10 years down the road and they're, hey, remember this? Remember when you said this? Remember when we talked about that? Hey, this totally happened to me. I totally get it now. Sometimes it's longer and later than you want it to be, but that is the true blessing of coaching, is when you get your players to come back and they talk to you as a friend, and they talk to you about what impact you had based on the experiences they had playing for you.
What did your experience in the Valley League do for your career?
Oh boy, that was where I really learned that you have to put relationships first, because that is a challenge different than anything we deal with now. You've got kids coming from all over the country, from different walks of life, and as much as I tried to get players from people that I knew and that cared for me and that I cared for and that I trusted, it didn't always work out that way, because you just had to put a roster together. So that is where I really learned to put people first and to talk to those players about relationships and about improving them. It was my job as a summer coach not to win the Line Weaver Cup. It was my job as a coach in the Valley to take them from being where they were in May when they left their respective schools and make them better in September. So whatever I needed to do to help them bridge that 2.5 month gap, that's what I was there to do. And you know, again, that was a situation where we didn't have, I had some guys that played in the big leagues, a couple pitchers, most notably Brett Gardner with the Yankees, and I never, you know, I mean, he was a walk-on at the College of Charleston. But had a lot of small, mid-major, you know, school guys that were elite at their schools, but, you know, they were under the radar professionally and in some cases collegiately. But they just love having someone who cared about them, who was going to throw BP early, who was going to stay late and talk. Like, and so that's, the Valley was what really helped me learn about the importance of a relationship. I had a really close friend of mine who played in the Valley when we were growing up, and he talked about his coach, and I don't know who that guy was, but he said all that guy was worried about was himself. All he was worried about was applying for jobs. It was just about, what can this job do to get me where I want to be? And he told me early on, 1999, don't be that guy, because people won't want to play for you if that guy. Be someone who invests in those players, even if it's only for, you know what, 10, 12 weeks. So that was that. The Valley was awesome. That was a lot of fun.
Any other shout-outs you want to give before I let you go?
Paul O'Neill down at UNC Pembroke. He drove up last week. He was my mentor. He's the guy that I started coaching with, and he drove up to Ashland last week to be a part of that experience with us. He's never seen me coach before, and you know, once everything happened and we won, you know, he kind of just disappeared into the background and got in the car and drove to his parents, and I never got to really enjoy that experience with him directly. He means a great deal to me. He's had a ton of success at UNC Pembroke, done more with less than most people do. I'm really blessed to have him as a mentor and as someone I can lean on. And then, you know, not that they'll see this, but my daughter graduates high school on Saturday, and probably be the first big event that I'm going to miss in her life. And my wife is working really hard to get the house in order and to prepare for lots of people coming over for that celebration. And while I'm excited for our team and for the individual students on our team, you know, I'm probably most excited this weekend about my daughter and her opportunity to graduate and take that next step in her life. So I don't want anything to take away from that. And I just hate that I can't be there, but I love her and I'm proud of her.
Good luck this week, Greg.
Thank you.
Here with Frank Pericolosi, Panoma Pitzer, professor physical ed, head coach, 19 seasons head coach. I think first appearance here at the World Series.
First appearance at the World Series, correct.
Closing in on 500 wins, six NCAA tournament appearances, All West Region Coach of the Year, 37-12 overall, and 17-7 conference play. Frank, thanks for jumping on with me.
Thanks for having me.
A hard-fought game today between two really good teams. What did you think about today?
I thought we did a good job. You know, it's our first time here. I thought our guys were ready to play. I don't think the lights were too bright for them. I thought our starter did a great job. Jake Hilton, he's been great for us all year. I thought he did a good job in throwing strikes early and competing against a really good baseball team. I thought our bats got going a little bit into the game, and I thought we hit a lot of balls hard throughout. So overall, pretty good. I think, you know, we probably gave away a couple bases here and there with errors, and you know, a couple walks and hit by pitch that cost us a little bit. But that's baseball. You know, you gotta play a really clean game against a good team when you're at the World Series.
Is that a typical game for Cam?
Yeah, I mean, the kids.
He was the best player on the field.
Yep. Yeah, he's a great hitter, man. He's a really good baseball player. He's been hot. He's been hot all year. I mean, you saw his numbers. He's a first-team All-American. The kid can really hit. So he looked great in the box today. He had a lot of confidence, and he was good.
How much time will you spend with the guys talking about this game as opposed to just moving on and get ready for tomorrow?
Not much. We're done. Okay. You know, so I think that that's the way we've been all year, right? Like, even if we won, it was, you know, congrats, good job. Here's what we did well. Here's what we need to be better at. And then focus on what's next. Same thing after losses. We're past it real quick. I don't want our guys to harp on it, right? They're a confident group, and they'll bounce back tomorrow. I believe that, and they'll be ready to go.
Did you talk to many coaches before you came here about how to handle this week?
Yeah, you know, I had a talk with Scott Laverty at Chapman, and again, he had some great advice for me about just enjoying the ride. I think that's the most important thing I wanted to get across to our kids, was soak everything up, you know, take pictures, take selfies, take videos, see what it's all about, right? They worked really hard to get here, and they deserve it, you know? So that part of it, you know, we focused on that a little bit. And then when it came game time, it was time to compete. So those are the big things, I think, that I tried to get across to my guys that Lav talked to me about.
And you ran the table in the regionals and super regionals, so you guys are hot coming in here.
Yeah, I mean, we lost one game in the regional, the game one, and then we won three in a row against Willamette, a really good team, and then went down to ETBU and beat a really good ETBU team in two games. So, you know, we're confident, you know, and you know, we were ready to go. I think that we just got beat. You know, it's going to happen. When you're at the World Series, everybody's good, right? Everybody's here for a reason. They know how to win games just like we know how to win games, and that's what happens.
What's different about this year's team than many teams in the past that haven't been able to get here?
Yeah, I would say we're as good as we've been on the mound as I've ever had, right? We got starting pitching, we got relief pitching, we got deep pitching, so that's been really good. And I think that, you know, I really like, you know, generally I like our lineup, right? Top to bottom, we got a couple young guys who played really well in Pierantoni and Gold. Those are two freshmen who started just about every game for us and have done well. We got some, you know, senior and upperclassmen guys like Jacobs, J.C. Ng, and Isaac. So those guys are all great players. And, you know, we play some good defense too. Our second baseman is I think, got to be one of the best defenders in the country at that position. And yeah, I think, you know, it's an all-round solid club, but I think probably pitching's the strength.
You'll beat Dartmouth during the spring, correct?
Yep.
How often do you get a chance to play Division I teams?
We don't get to do it that much.
Shout out to Coach Whalen.
Yeah, Coach Whalen is a good friend of mine, and I've worked his camp for many, many years. He's a great man, great coach. I have a ton of respect for him. A game happened to fit in on the schedule when they were out here in California. He called me up and said, "You want to play?" And we did. It was great. It was good for our guys. A great experience for them to go against you know, a Division I baseball team. And you know, a lot of our guys were pretty close to playing in the Ivy League, so you know, they probably had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder and were ready to play and had a great day that day.
Roster's mostly California kids. You got a few outliers sprinkled in there, but historically mostly California kids.
It's mostly California, mostly West Coast. You know, we try to recruit nationally as much as we can. We've had some good guys from different parts of the country throughout my time there, but it's mostly California guys.
You kind of embody Division III baseball because you're a physical education teacher. Mm-hmm. I mean, what have you loved about being at Division III?
Yeah, it's great. I mean, there's a good balance. You know, Pomona and Pitzer are outstanding academic schools. Our kids go on to med school, law school, finance, through everything. So, you know, the classroom is the priority for them, just like it should be in Division III. And then we also try to push excellence on the field as well, right? So they're trying to get high GPAs and do well in the classroom, and we're trying to push them to do the same thing on the baseball field. We want to be a nationally competitive program, and you know, I think we've done a pretty good job of that. So yeah, it's a balance, right? You got to balance the academics with the baseball and try to do it the best you possibly can.
You had to take a sabbatical in 2009 too,
yep.
Correct?
2010, I believe. Yep.
So, and that's another benefit of
being Division III. Yeah, it's a great benefit.
Because yeah. You're able to do that too, which
yep.
is awesome.
Yeah, I went to Australia on my first sabbatical, and then my second sabbatical in 2010, I did a deep dive into the new pitching stuff that's going around, the driveline, Coggin stuff at PFA, and tried to learn as much as I could on that side of the ball. I'm more of a hitting guy, but tried to jump into pitching a little bit more than I had in the past.
What stuck out about when you were diving in on your pitching sabbatical?
You know, just like there's just new ways to develop and train pitchers that haven't been there throughout our time. I remember when I first started coaching, the thing was, you know, throw pitchers out in left field, get loose, and then get out of the hitter's way for practice. Now it's way different in terms of arm care and preparing to pitch each day using the J bands and things like that. So, plyo care and doing things to take care of their arms a little bit better. So that's definitely been a big shift and something that we've embraced as a program as well.
You have a director of baseball analytics, but he also coaches football, correct?
Yes,
that's
correct.
How long have you had a director of baseball analytics?
Yeah, Tommy is he's been with us for a while, and I teach a baseball analytics class, and we had a real generous donor donate TrackMan to our program, and some of the our first TrackMan operator came out of our baseball analytics class. Riley, who can't be here this week, but we tried to get him out. But those guys have been able to pull TrackMan data and put it into scouting reports for us, and try to help us out in any way we can to get at whatever edge we can on the recruiting front. And Tommy has been kind of the lead in that area of organizing that stuff and putting everything together. He's a tremendous worker. He really helps us out a lot, and definitely a big value in our program.
How long have you been the NCAA chair?
So I've been on the committee. My first year on the committee was 2018, and I've chaired it at two different times. I think I've 4 total years as chair, 2 2-year stints as chair.
And how gratifying is that for you? Now you get to put a uniform on and
yeah.
instead of that.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, I love coming to the World Series. I mean, I've got to, do this for 8 years, see this whole thing go down. And then, this is my last year on the committee and last year as chair. So it's just, it's awesome to, be here as a coach and not have to worry about organizing everything and putting out fires and, listen to other coaches complain. Now I'm the coach complaining and stuff like that. So it's been great. I've met a lot of great people. The best thing about it is the people that you meet throughout this. I met a bunch of great coaches, a bunch of great administrators on our committee that I'll be friends with for life.
Any other shout outs you want to give before I let you go?
To my kids CC and Leo and my wife Sarah, thank you for everything.
Love it. Appreciate it.
Thank
Good
you.
Luck. All right, here with John Vodenlich, head coach UW Whitewater, 21 seasons, 2024 ABCA Hall of Famer, 2-time national champion, third World Series appearance in 3 different decades, over 700 wins. 40-9 this year with 19-5 in conference play. So thanks for jumping on with me, Coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Congrats again on your ABCA Hall of Fame induction.
Thank you.
Yeah. What'd you think of the banquet?
I thought it was long.
Common theme.
It was good because they put me last, and then, of course they covered it up, by saying, yeah, we're saving the best for last. But I knew the truth. Put him at the end. But no, it was an honor, as you know, and the coolest thing about it was the people that were up there with me.
Yeah.
And it puts things in perspective.
When I interviewed for the podcast, I could kind of tell talking to you, you felt good about this year's team.
Yeah. I feel good almost about every year's team. But what I learned years ago is I try not to make those artificial judgments as a coach. Some years you should be good, some years you're not so good. Certainly you look at the strengths and weaknesses and try to plug some of the holes and work on some things. But you know, I don't know. It's just a blank slate. You know, we feel good about our guys and how they go about their business. And you try not to put any of that artificial expectation thing on there because it maybe changes how I approach the season or how I definitely approach the development piece.
And I know you weren't happy with the way the season ended last year. Did you make any adjustments with the guys this year?
Yeah, we were very disappointed. And once again, we looking back, we won 30 games. We were very happy with that. But understandably, they left us out, you know. And if you look at it, there was a span of 8 games. We lost 7 of them, you know. And I just don't think an NCAA qualifying team loses 7 out of 8, all right? So we had plenty of things to look at about how we lost that stretch, how to mitigate that. And then the other thing is you some people think you just, well, next year everyone's better. Well, you can't just be the same team. There has to be changes. And the biggest changes, I think, some of the younger players stepped up into starting roles. And then we got some newcomers that are just fabulous. So it's a different team. But they still felt bad about last year. So I think the combination of those two things, new guys and the fact that was still lingering, really have motivated them.
What are some big differences from this year's team, from last year's or previous teams that you've had too?
Well, first of all, I think we're more talented. We are, and I love last year's team, and we had a lot of upperclassmen that really worked hard and did great things, but we have some very special players and very, very talented group. But our emphasis has been focusing on playing rather than just training. Traditionally, we love BP. I mean, we love to hit BP, but everyone feels good at BP most of the time, and so we tried to transition into a game mindset. And funny, Mark and I have talked, and you know, when I started in this, the description gamer was a negative. If you had a guy who was a gamer, that means he was lazy, piece of crap, and maybe he had some talent, but he was better in a game. And we always tried to downplay that. Well, I outplayed it this year. I mean, that's what we need. We need gamers. I don't care what you're doing at 5 o'clock, but when the first pitch is thrown, it's time to play the game. So I do think we have some very talented but very committed and competitive young men. And I think that's the biggest change.
And you look at your stats, obviously hitting, pitching, and defense, all stats are above average on all three sides of that.
Yeah, and the biggest change there was our pitching. A year ago, we had a very young staff. And I look back at all the previous seasons, and we had the highest ERA, just to mention one stat, that we've ever had. So that has to be addressed. You can't win championships without pitching. So we have spent a lot of time in that area.
You've won 2 national championships, been here. What are the keys to playing well this week? Is it pitching and defense?
I think it always starts there. I think the layout of the park is good for us. I think we're a competitive group that believes we can win. But it comes down to playing the game. It's not about who you play, but it's how you play. And I think our guys understand that, but you're definitely going to have to make some plays when we show up on Friday.
You lost your last 2 regular season games going in the conference tournament, correct?
Yes.
Did you address that with the guys, or was it let's get ready for the conference tournament?
Yeah, thinking back, that seems like months ago. But we clinched the conference the day earlier with a 2-game sweep, and we came out like as flat as you could. But at that point, like, it was, you know, it's hard to yell at guys for having a tremendous year and clinching earlier than they needed to. And we won the lead by 3 games. So, yeah, it was hard to beat them up over
that. Also a good teaching point, though, too. It's like, hey, if we do come out flat, this is going to happen.
Yes, no doubt. And I didn't say anything. Like I said, we have a very intelligent group that understands how to play. And they managed a lot of that stuff themselves.
What's your preparation look like this week and then today?
Boy, you know, we tried to maintain the same routine we've had, which is basically 3 practices prior to the series. This day is an additional day, you know, and we've tried to keep it status quo over the last 3 weeks. All right, there was a defensive day, there was a hybrid short game, a BP day, and then, of course, there was a bullpen day with our pitchers. And then today we added what we did today. This is an additional day. So for the most part, it's the same, but then being here today and then going, you know, to Lakeland College is going to be fun.
Your hybrid day, what's that look like?
Well, we'll usually start with some short game stuff, which is both a defensive and offensive thing. And then we'll move into both bullpens, and then we'll also finish up with some BP. So we kind of try to cover everything that's important.
No live at-bats?
No, zero. We've taken no live at-bats. I mean, at this point, I mean, I think it's like probably Muhammad Ali. How much sparring does he have to do? We've been around. We've done it. We don't need that. We need to show up on Friday and play.
What else are you looking forward to this week?
What were we looking forward to? Yeah. Well, we got here to Cleveland. We checked in. We had a tour of Progressive Field today with, you know, their announcer is a Wisconsin native, a guy by the name of Tom Hamilton. He's also the brother of Rob Hamilton.
Longtime great coach in Wisconsin.
Legendary coach. So he gave us the tour today, which made it really special. So we were able to see that, and we looked forward to that. And then really, you know, we're just sitting around chomping at the bit to play. I'm sure everyone feels the same way. It's like, let's get over with all this, let's play ball.
Any other shout-outs you want to give before I let you go?
Well, yeah, I'm just going to say we have a great staff and a lot of administrative support, and those things are always good to have. But it does come down to a bunch of young men that have made a commitment for all year. And I can't be prouder of the team. I feel good about where they're at. And like I said, on Friday, when the lights kick on, we'll play and we'll see where it goes.
Good luck this week, Coach.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
All right, here, Pete Egbert, Misericordia. I got it right this year. I muffed it last year. Head coach, back-to-back World Series appearances, 17th season overall, 22nd overall coaching, closing in on 600 wins, 38-9 overall, and now 39-9 overall, 19-2 in conference. Congrats for getting here again, Pete.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Guys played really well today. Hard-fought battle today.
Yeah, thanks. Good pitcher's duel, right? Like, you're expecting to see that on day one where you're going to get everybody's ace and, you know, it should be pretty good pitching, pretty good defense. When you get to this level, everybody's good. So it's a good baseball game.
And your program's been built on pitching, defense, and offensive execution.
Yeah, that's what we're about. I mean, we're not going to be able to string five or six hits together in a row. That's just not what we do. So, you know, we've got to pitch, we've got to defend, and philosophically, if you can pitch and defend, you're going to be in every game, and then it's just a matter of being able to execute at a high level on offense.
Is that a typical game for you guys today,
yeah.
What we saw out there?
Yeah. I mean, take advantage of mistakes. You know, we're going to run a little bit. We're going to move runners. We're going to, you know, take some chances. We're going to do some dumb things on the bases occasionally every now and then, but it's a price that you pay for being aggressive and just doing what we do.
Yeah, that's a feast or famine deal. So
yeah.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is awesome. Will you spend much time with the guys talking about this game, or does it move on till tomorrow?
At this time of year, it's kind of, for me, just move on to tomorrow. You know, if we're earlier in the year, then we're going to, you know, nitpick a little bit and get into something and then practice between and work on some things that we didn't execute. You know, this time of year, it's about who gets hot at the right time, and that's what it's about. And we have some guys that are struggling offensively, so we talked a little bit about that, just getting yourself in the right mental state to compete at a high level in the batter's box. But other than that, you know, survive in advance.
What'd you take coming out of here last year?
Just, you know, real good experience. Again, like for me, obviously everybody's coming here to win it, right? But I want our guys to take the experience in. I mean, it's so darn hard to get here, and then to be able to do it again is really an anomaly. So I just want them to enjoy the moment. We have some freshmen that haven't been here before. We have some grad students who will never play baseball again after this week. So I just want them to enjoy each other and experience the moment and take that in. And, you know, obviously you're trying to play good baseball, and whatever happens, happens. But I want them to enjoy this, because this is what they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
Did you tweak the routine for this week as opposed to last year? Did you do anything different with them this week as opposed to last year in Cedar Rapids?
Not really. I don't really recall. Maybe we had an extra day off. I just felt the team was a little bit tired after the Super, so we had an extra day off maybe. But, you know, we grind, and that's what we have to do. So that's what we did.
The conference championship, best two out of three. Is it two weekends where it's best two out of three?
It is.
It's awesome.
Yeah. We switched that a few years ago, and I had
some mixed feelings about that format. We used to do neutral site four team double elimination. That was an awesome environment. I thought that was really, really cool. And so I had some hesitation about going away from that. Really, I think the best team usually comes out of the two out of three, you know, 2 weekends in a row. But you never know. And, you know, you play a few more games and strength of schedule maybe goes up a little bit. So it helps us out, I think.
Then ran the table in the regionals and the super regionals.
Yeah, again, just really, really good baseball. Kid for St. John Fisher kept us off balance for 6 innings. We couldn't get to him and then finally got to him in the 7th, and we're fortunate there. And then another grind with Keystone and another one with Middlebury, and then had to go down to Newport and 2 pitchers' duels down there, beat a really good club down there. So we've played a lot of really close, good, tight ball games the last 3 weeks, and that's what we hope to do going forward.
Division III Player of the Year, two-way player. How have you managed him? Because he goes second for y'all in the rotation, correct?
Yeah, so early in the year, he pitched third for us just because he played shortstop the first two and then pitched the third game. In the playoffs, we put him in the 2 slot. We don't know what we're going to do yet tomorrow because I'm a little hesitant to pitch him and then put him at short the next day. But our backup shortstop defensively might be better than Connor on defense. He's really, really good. He plays third for us most of the year, but when he slides over, short's his natural position. But yeah, managing Connor was tough. I feel like Connor went down and played in the Valley League this past summer, and I think that helped him a lot. He saw some really good pitching on a routine basis. He's always been good on the mound, but I think he got better offensively. That summer helped him out, and he just got on a roll early, and he's kept it.
How do you handle bullpens for him? Or does he throw bullpens?
No, he does. We manage his arm throughout the week from a throwing standpoint defensively, and I just rely on him to let me know what he's able to do and when. As the season has worn on, he's done less defensively from a throwing standpoint, but I mean, he's logged maybe like close to 100 innings or not. You'd know better than I would, but yeah, so we try and manage that.
I ask because we have a lot of coaches that watch this and listen that have to deal with two-way players, so it's a fascinating story because he's your best hitter, one of your best pitchers, and I think how to handle that workload is a big one, especially for a shortstop.
Yeah, it is. And for me, like, day after is really important. You know, when he pitches, that day after is critically important. He's got to make sure he gets his work in. He's got to make sure he stays strong in the weight room, because that's what's going to help him, you know, continue to advance and go deep in games and pitch this late in the season. But really, it's just relying on him. And if he doesn't feel good on a Tuesday, then we're going to back off. And if he can go a little bit harder on a Tuesday, then he will. So we rely on him heavily for that.
Did you feel like you had a chance to come back coming out of the fall?
You never even think about that. We have 6 grad students, which Misericordia never really has. Very rarely do we have that. And we had 6 guys who decided to come back because they wanted that opportunity and they were hungry for it. But again, it's so hard to get here that you just concentrate on what's in front of you. And our goal every year, I'm a little old school. Like, to me, I prioritize the regular conference season. You know, the best team comes out of 21 games instead of a weekend or two. So we prioritize that, and then we kind of go from there.
Any other shout-outs you want to give before I let you go?
Not really. Just proud of our guys. You know, looking forward to competing against some really good teams. I got some good friends here in the tournament, and, you know, it's just really good baseball. It's a great environment. Just thrilled to be here.
Good luck with Les Ray out here, Pete.
Yeah, thank you.
Congrats to Division III and the city of East Lake for hosting a great event. It's a very fan-friendly experience outside of Cleveland, Ohio. Thanks again to John Litchfield, Zach Cale, Jim Richardson, Matt West, and Antonio Walker in the ABC office for all the help on the podcast. Feel free to reach out to me via email, rbrownlee@abca.org, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at CoachB_ABCA, or direct message me via the MyABCA app. This is Ryan Brownlee signing off for the American Baseball Coaches Association. Thanks, and leave it better for those behind you. Wait for another.